Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Christ's words we consider for our text today from Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. I Googled two jobs at the same time. And I got a lot of people who are giving advice on how to handle it. In this tough economy, sometimes people have to take on a second job or a third job. There were people that were actually holding down two full-time jobs at the same time. Some of them were actually getting in trouble for it. But the overwhelming comments on the blogs were, when I did it, I forgot who I was. Or when I did it, I was so tired. I was certainly happy that it was only a short term and I had to choose between one or the other. Jesus says no man can serve two masters. Because what happens is you either love one or hate the other. You can't love both of them. You can't serve both of them equally well. There was another fellow who had a great athletic talent, and he was able to qualify for many full-ride scholarships to Big Ten universities, but he also was a trumpet player, and he loved his trumpet. And he also qualified upon application to several music schools where he got big scholarships there. He chose a school where he could both play sports and the trumpet, but in the middle of his freshman year, it caught up with him. He couldn't do all the athletics and all the academics and still play the trumpet, have enough time for it all. And so he had to choose between the two. Where's God's kingdom? That's the title of our sermon today. This is a discussion that Jesus is having. And he gets at it through this other bold statement that no man can serve two masters. I would submit to you that God's kingdom is the place where God is the king, where God is the boss, where God is the master, the only master. Now, Jesus kind of hits us between the eyes. If you want to argue with him, go ahead, but I'm just going to tell you what he says as I read it. If you worry, you're serving two masters. If you worry, you have two masters. And you're in trouble because you're going to want one or the other. Then Jesus gives us a couple of examples of people that don't have two masters. Excuse me. Beings that don't have two masters. Birds. Birds don't have two masters. Just one. I'll never forget Pastor David Eberhard over at Historic Trinity in Detroit said on a Thanksgiving sermon, he said, those birds trust God. He said, I don't know how many birds you had to climb over to get in here tonight, he said, but I didn't see any dead birds. They have one master. They trust God. They're unemployed, but they trust God. And God takes care of them. Flowers. Plants. Most of them are being taken care of under the snow right now, but you'll see them in a couple of weeks. They have no other master than God. They're dressed by God, they're fed by God, they're watered by God, and they're beautiful because of God, their master, their creator. Do you ever remember the manufacturers that tried to, if they could, offer some kind of cradle-to-grave help and coverage for their people? Perhaps the way they built homes down on old Walkerville for the employees at Hiram Walker. A place to live, a place to work, a place to raise your family, a place where your family could get jobs when they got old enough. The auto companies were able to do that for some time, too. I knew a guy who was a member of my congregation a long time ago, and he test drove tractors for Henry Ford. And Henry Ford would go out in the fields and talk to him about those tractors and what was wrong with them. He worked, and it was so nice for him at his job there that he went back to Germany to get a wife. There weren't any women over here. And he married his wife, and then the war came, and so he had to fight on the other side in World War II. And after the war was over and he got out of the army, he brought his wife and his kids here, and they went back to work for Ford Motor Company over in Dearborn. He lived to be about 95 years old, and he just kept going in that one place. But that's gone. I don't know very many people anyway that are able to say they can work for just one employer. But you know what you can still do? You can still worry if you want to. You can go to work for the worry, and you can lay awake at night and worry, and you can spend hours at it. But Jesus, our Lord, says you cannot add one single hour to your life working for that master. But to be sure, if you worry, you have two masters. Those who worry are taking a risk that they will stop trusting God. Jesus says, O you of little faith, to people who are worried about food and clothes. Now, in those days, they didn't have much. Food and clothes were a big deal. Things we take for granted were a big deal. There's a lot of rocks and dirt in the Middle East, and not much else. But those people were being encouraged by Jesus to put their trust in God. God has a cradle to grave plan for us. And He promises to take care of us, even beyond the grave, in eternal life. Now His cradle to grave plan does have some exclusions. You can't steal. You can't cheat on your taxes, for example, and have God pat you on the head and say, good job. You saved a little money. No, God doesn't want us to do that. We can't lust after things that we can't have, or people we can't have, or situations we can't have. And God isn't going to be pleased with that. We can't go around talking about everybody's faults, even though that helps us become a little tighter with our friends or feel a little better about ourselves if somebody else is bad. And we can't talk or put in the hours for ourselves and for others and not put in time with God in prayer and worship. But But that's what it is to have God as our king. Now, if God was the king, if God was my king, it would be a great thing if he would take complete care of me. Complete care of my body and my soul. Let me ask you this. How many hairs do you have on your head? How many individual hairs do you have on your head? Do you know? They're counting over there in the choir. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the birds again. And he says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We know that redheaded people have 80,000 to 90,000 hairs on their head. We know that blonde-haired people with real fine hair have up to maybe 140,000, 150,000 hairs on their head. We know that bald people have a countable number of hairs on their head. But I don't know how many I have. God does. He can take care of me. He values me. I need love. I want to be beloved by somebody. And God always assures me that he loves me. He does the same for you. You're of much more value than a bird or a flower. Isaiah says that God has engraved us on the palms of his hand. He's not going to forget. Young people sometimes do that. They write a phone number or something on their hand so they don't forget it. God isn't going to forget you. He carved you into his hand. What about my youth? Will I get to keep that if I follow God? My attractiveness, my appeal. Am I going to lose my strength or lose my mind if I follow God? Won't I be disenfranchised? Won't I lose my place? Won't I be discarded? Do you think God is going to do that to you? Do you think God will forget you? He is a very worthwhile master to have. And so Jesus' advice is this. It's simple. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom. Work for him. Quit your worry job. Tell him you're not going to work for them anymore. And spend those hours worrying. And put in that time worrying. And trust God as one master. We pray this all the time. Who has said the Lord's Prayer in the last month? Sometime. Okay, we're going to say it this morning again. Thy kingdom come. We say it all the time. And what we mean by that is that we want God to be our king. Now, God's kingdom comes whether we pray for it or not, Luther says. But we pray in this petition that it would be come to us also. And how that happens, he says, is when the Holy Spirit, God gives us his Holy Spirit, the Spirit causes us to believe his holy word and to lead godly lives. And if that's going on, if you're believing the word and if you're leading a godly life, you're in God's kingdom. And you have this one master who will take care of you from baptism all the way to eternal life. It's a good thing we have his righteousness, because if we've sinned, if we've taken another God, and if we've broken some of those exclusions in the that the choir sang about today, then we need his righteousness. We need to trade places with Jesus. And he gives us his righteousness by faith, and he trades us for our sin, and he takes those, he took those to the cross. And in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper, we are refreshed in that same exchange of sin for righteousness. And that's one reason you can believe and trust in God. And then, all the other things you get too. For Jesus says, all these things will be added unto you. Except one thing. Worry. Because we're not going to work for that anymore. Where's God's kingdom? God's kingdom is where there is one master and one Lord who knows how to take care of everybody very well. In Jesus' name, amen. In the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.